1 Corinthians chapter 7 and Philippians chapter 4. I would add, if you're hot like I am, and you can feel free to open one of the windows next to you and get a breeze blowing. Last I checked, it's about 115 degrees in here. So, 1 Corinthians 7. And then also Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, of course, you've heard me say many times as far as in the context of the book of 1 Corinthians, he's writing to a church that was a mess, a church that had a lot of problems in it. And one of the things that was taking place is there was a lot of persecution going on at that period of the world, that time of the world. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is going to really speak into the topic of marriage, and he's going to speak into the subject of singleness. At this point in Paul's life, it is believed that he is a single man. As far as doing some study on that, there is belief that the Apostle Paul was married at one time, and perhaps now he is a widower. But nonetheless, the Apostle Paul, we believe, was single. And you may be here tonight, and I know sometimes, and maybe sadly, as churches, we've done an injustice to our single community, if you will, because we're constantly preaching on the benefit of marriage, we're constantly preaching on the blessedness of marriage. We're constantly preaching on marriage from the institution that God founded. But I will say that if you're single here today, if you're single here tonight or watching by the internet, you have an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in an amazing way. Amen? You have an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would also say that you are a whole person. You are a whole person. You have an opportunity. And you have a tremendous opportunity of serving Jesus Christ, unlike those that are married. Now, those of us that are married, we have a great blessing and a great opportunity of serving the Lord and honoring the Lord Jesus with our life and with our marriage. And we talked about that much this morning, is in the context of our marriage. We said that marriage it's not easy, but it indeed is well worth it. I want to give you a couple thoughts that I come across, and just want to share some things with you tonight on the blessing of singleness. The blessing of singleness. Now, earlier today, we talked about marriage in the context of what does it take? What does it take to have that successful marriage? The miracle of marriage is what we dealt with. And we talked about how marriage and singleness, whether you're a married individual or you're a single individual, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have an opportunity to serve Jesus Christ. You do. And that's a blessing. Amen. It's a blessing and a joy to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an honor and a joy to serve Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Now, those that may say, yeah, but Pastor, I can't serve the Lord. I can't serve the Lord like married couples can. You're right. There's a possibility you could serve the Lord better. Wow. Really? Yeah. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll show you some things. And, of course, when you look at Philippians as well in the context of contentment, I hope and I pray that God will use this message mightily in your life and maybe can help you. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you found your place in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word, please stand with me. We'll start in verse number 1. I'll read verse 1 and then also several verses here. We'll read on down for a few verses. Now, the Apostle Paul, in the first several verses, gives some principles on marriage. I'm not going to expound these verses, but for context of where I'm going with them, you'll see where we're going with them. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Now concerning the things whereof he wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now Paul, it's evident, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul had been asked some questions. he had maybe been sent some questions, and he's going to answer these questions biblically. He's going to speak in to these questions. And I love Paul for that, because he's going to answer some questions that people have and maybe would be ashamed to ask maybe in a public forum. So Paul's going to speak into it. He said, it's good, verse 7, for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with a consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men, look at this. Paul now is going to speak into this. He said, now I'm going to speak this, now hear me here. Verse 7. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. And then notice verse 8. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. So Paul's talking about singleness. I'm going to speak to the unmarried. I'm going to speak to the widows. It's good if, it is good, verse 8, for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. Father, we love you. Help us love you more. May you receive all the honor and glory of what's said and done. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You'll notice in verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 7, I said to you that in the context of singleness, you may have an opportunity to serve the Lord better than some that are married. And Paul is really going to kind of talk a little bit about this in verse 32. Now, let me also say this. For those of you that are married, he said, preacher, that was kind of a punch in the face. What you said, that singles may have an opportunity to serve God better. Well, first of all, hear my heart. What I am not saying is for you to divorce your spouse. All right? I'm not saying that. And you say, yeah, but Pat, no. If you're married, it is God's will for you to stay married. So just kind of hear that thought. Hear that point. So, but look at verse 32. Did we drop again, Danny? We're good? I lost my monitors. He says in verse 32, but I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried, cared for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, Paul, of course, he's talking in the context of marriage. And it's, see, marriage no longer is, you know, once you get married, it's no longer I, it's us, right? It's two becoming one. It's now we put each other first should be our desire. Give me a little more monitor, guys. We put our attitude of, Brother Danny and I was talking this morning in the context of him reading a book and in the context of servants as far as leadership. And he was like, preacher, it just boils down to serving. And, of course, I said, absolutely it does. I said, it goes hand in hand really well. And I'm preaching on the series I'm preaching on the context of marriage. One of the greatest things you could do for your marriage, look up here, everybody look up here. One of the greatest things you could do in your marriage is to serve your spouse unconditionally and to love them unconditionally. And you say, yeah, but pastor, no. Serve them unconditionally. Love them unconditionally. Speak power into their life. Speak truth into their life. Serve the Lord. You say, yeah, but pastor, I can't get, listen, and again, I said this to you and I've been saying this to you. One thing also to understand, you and I cannot make anyone spiritual. Amen? It takes God to do that. You say, yeah, but pastor, I think we'd be better if my wife was this or my husband was this. Listen, what matters is, are you where you need to be spiritually? Because that's important. So Paul speaks into this, and for time, I'm not going to go a whole lot into that direction today, but I just want to share some things in the context of the blessing of singleness. Now, I wrote a statement down, and I want you to hear. For those that are single here today, say, yeah, but pastor, it's easy for you to say, you and Miss Leslie have been married for 21 years, so that indicates that you guys were young when you got married, and you've never had to maybe come through some of the things that we've come through of being older and single. Well, that may be the case, but I want you to hear my heart in this. I'm grateful, yes, that the Lord has allowed us to be married like we have,
But here's a principle that I read in this book, and I wrote this down because I think this is worth its weight in gold. Here's the statement. For those that are single, here's the statement here. Don't live your life waiting. Live the most fulfilled, joyful life you can now. Don't live your life waiting. So many times, especially single adults, they'll have the attitude, well, I'm just waiting. Well, I'm glad that you are, and I'm glad that you're waiting on God and you want God to bring the right person into your life. But don't wait to the point that it causes you not to serve Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind. Don't live your life waiting. Live the most fulfilled, joyful life that you can right now. And you also find that it's often in the time of your life, to those that are single here, you'll find that it's often in the time of your life that you never dreamed God would bring somebody across your path to be your future spouse. That's the time often that God does that. You have to find your fulfillment and your completion in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's some other truths that may help you, and I have come across this, and I think it's tremendous, because I think sometimes if we're not careful, and as a pastor, I've pastored this, I've counseled this, as people start to get a little older, they get in their late 20s, they get in their early 30s, man, it seems like, oh no, life has passed me by. And sadly, one of the things that can happen is people then just kind of jump into the relationship. They kind of lower, if you will, some of their, I use the word standard very, very conservatively, because I don't want to distort or twist any thought of this. But if we're not careful, we can kind of lower our standard of what we want in a spouse, what we're praying God for a spouse, and we want to run right into a marriage. But listen to some of the statements. And then this is not original to me. I just came across this, and I think it was tremendous, and I want to read this to you. Single-minded singleness has its advantages, the writer says. He says a few thoughts in the context of marriage. Number one, don't think that marriage will make you happy. That's a good word. If you're not happy now, marriage isn't going to make you happy. Amen? Number two, don't think that marriage will solve your problems. Do not think that marriage will solve your problems. Number three, don't think that marriage will bring you closer to God. Just because we get married doesn't necessarily mean it's going to bring us closer to God. Number four, don't think that marriage will make you a better person. That's a good point. Don't think that marriage will make you a better person. My wife says, and she said to me, and I used it this morning, she says in the context of finding the right person, she said, in order to find the right person, focus on being the right person. That's a good sermon. That's a fantastic word. You know, in order to find the right person, don't focus on that. Focus more on being the right person. Focus more on somebody that is absolutely deeply in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and passionately in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. There's the last one he says. Don't think that marriage will fulfill your dreams. It won't, he says, because it can't. Don't think that marriage will fulfill your dreams, because it won't, because it can't. We have to find our true fulfillment in Jesus Christ. I say that to married couples, but in the context of the sermon tonight, I say that to all the singles that are here tonight. So is there hope? You say, well, preacher, I mean, what do we do? Well, here's some thoughts, and you'll find that it goes right really hand in hand with what we dealt with this morning as far as some of the things we looked at this morning. So what do we do? The blessedness of singleness. Turn now to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll just make some application from the life of the Apostle Paul, the life of a man who was single, and yet he still knew what it meant to serve God, and he still knew what it meant to serve God passionately, wholeheartedly, without reservation, without hesitation, and that's the kind of person I want to be, and I know that's indeed the same kind of person you want to be. So, we see in this portion of Scripture, in Philippians chapter 4, we'll pick up our reading in verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which we have learned, which ye have learned, both learned and rejoiced, and received, and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And then notice in verse 14, notice in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. You can underline that phrase. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That one verse, verse 13, is probably one of the most quoted verses, but often, contextually, is often one of the most misquoted as far as context. But anyway, that's another thought, it's another sermon. So in the context of the blessedness of singleness, let me also say as a pastor, I'm thankful to God for the singles ministry of our church. I mean that. Y'all mean the world to us. As a pastor, as a church, we're grateful to God for the singles ministry. I'm thankful that you all are constantly doing things. And we have a college of career age class, and a lot of the young singles are in that. And you guys are always doing things under the direction of Brother Brian and Miss Amanda and going out. And that's really important. It's really valuable, as you'll see in just a moment, of what it, what helps us as far as in our single life. What is it that can help us? Well, there's just a few thoughts. If you want to write them down, it may help you. You'll see that it really goes hand in hand with what we've already talked about this morning. So we're going to give you a few thoughts, and then we're going to give you some things to pray for. I've often found in my life that to pray, it's important to pray with intentionality. It's important to pray specifically. You say, yeah, but Pastor, what should I be praying for? Well, we're going to give you some thoughts here towards the end of the sermon. But again, what do we do? We said this morning that marriage, our marriage indeed, should show forth Christ. It should point to the Lord Jesus Christ. If God is the author of marriage, and He is the one that created, He is the one that instituted marriage some perhaps 4,000 years before He did the church. But in the context of that, there's a reason to which He did that. You say, yeah, sure there was. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. But are you aware He told them much more than just that? He told them much more. He told them to have dominion. He told them to, so the Lord Jesus Christ, in the very first marriage, He used it greatly. And I pray that the Lord Jesus does that in our marriages. But again, in the context of the blessing of singleness, let's dig in. Let's share a few thoughts just from our heart and some other things that we've learned. And I hope indeed that it'll be a blessing to you and maybe an encouragement to you here tonight. We gave you a few thoughts this morning. We said that married couples bear witness to the depth of Christ's love, and singles bear witness to the breadth of Christ's love. Married couples bear witness to the depth in that we have made a vow to each other, husband and wife, they made a vow to each other, as long as they both shall live, to be faithful to each other, to be with one another in sickness and in health, in poverty and wealth, and wherever you go, you'll lead, and we follow and all that. So there's a lot to that. But that's marriage, and it gives evidence. It should point to the depth of God's love, whereas singleness should point to the breadth of God's love. Because the Lord Jesus, here's what's great about God. If you're single, the Lord Jesus Christ has not obligated you to one person. Now you say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? I'm going to date 1,000 people? No. What I'm saying is this, and let me also say, here's just a simple, may seem silly, but I want you to understand this. Be careful who you date, singles. Please be careful who you date. Let me go on record and stand in the authority of the Word of God when I make this statement. It is never God's will for you to date a lost person. It is never God's will for you to date a lost person. I do not believe, nor does the Bible support, evangelistic dating. Do not do that. You say, well, but preacher, I believe I can be used of God to see them saved. Well, great. Be their friend, but don't date them, right? Be their friend, but don't date them. So be careful. We're trying our best to protect you. We love you. We want to see God's, that we want you to understand God has a great plan for your life. God has a great plan for all of our lives. You say, yeah, but pastor, what happens if that plan for me is to never marry? What happens if God's plan for me is to never marry? Well, if that's God's plan for you, God has a special plan for you. Paul alluded a little bit of that to the 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where he talked about the gift. And, you know, there are those that have different gifts, and some have the gift to be single. But maybe that's not you, and I'm not saying that is. But the context of these verses, of course, we're going to dig into a few thoughts. So let me give you some thoughts. So what do we do? What do we do in the context of singleness? What do we do in the context of, if we are a single, what do we do? Well, to repeat what I said this morning, because it goes right along with what we talked about this, singleness, your singleness, should show forth Christ in a very unique way. It has the opportunity to show forth Christ in a very unique way. Because your singleness should be, remember I said this morning, now let's tie it together as single. Your singleness should be your first ambition. You say, what do you mean, preach? That makes no sense to me. I thought my first ambition should be to get married. No. That should not be your first ambition. If your first ambition is to get married, be careful. Because you may wind up marrying the person that you really shouldn't marry. Your first ambition should be to be a single individual that loves Jesus with all their heart, their soul, and their mind. That ought to be our first ambition. Our first ambition, the context of ambition, it's that strong desire to achieve something. It ought to be our first ambition. It ought to be our first passion. You know, that almost uncontrollable emotion, this passion is by definition. And as a single adult, as a single individual, your passion should be, you know, I'll use my daughter as an example. My daughter, you know, of course, she was going to college down in Florida, and Pensacola Christian College, and we had an incident in July of last year, and you know, the bus crash. She was on there and got some bumps and bruises, and she was going through some tests, and it was already now getting towards August, and so we made the determination to say, hey, honey, we just want you to listen. We're not going to send you back. We'll just have you stay home this semester, and then you know, we'll see about seeing you back in January, back to Pensacola Christian College. But as she got her job, started working, and then she starts talking to me and my wife. And finally, I said to her one day, I said, honey, I said, if you would like to stay home and start taking college classes online, I said, we're okay with that too. And you know what she said to me, Brian and Amanda? One of the things I love is, she says, I love my church. She said, I love my Sunday school class. Here she is, a single young lady. She said, I love my Sunday school class. She loves being involved in ministry. You see, and you say, preacher, why are you saying that to use your daughter as an illustration? What I'm saying is this. Our passion should be, as a single adult, to serve Jesus unlike maybe some others can. We're not. Now, think about it for a moment, and you can see it. You can see it fleshed out, and we talked a little bit about it in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32 and 33, that Paul talks about, you know, the married individual, they're going to be focused on their wife. The unmarried isn't focused on the husband or the wife. Well, so what's the significance? Well, think about it for a moment. Single people have very flexible schedules, right? When I was single, I had a very flexible schedule. If I wanted to, me and my friend, if we decided we're going to get in our car and we're going to go preach in Florida, that's what we did, right? We're going to preach in Virginia, that's what we did. The Lord called us to do. But my point is, now, from a single standpoint, you have very flexible schedules. It's not uncommon for singles to always get together. That's important, by the way. You need to have a good support system around you. Okay, let's illustrate it like this. You know somebody else in the Bible who was single? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was. So think of me about the Lord Jesus. If we think about the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul spent his life pouring in ministry, pouring into other people. He spent his life and he lived his life for Jesus, first of all, and others second. You know, as a single adult, that's a good way to live our life. Jesus first and others second. Be very careful as a single adult. Be very careful as a single adult to become self-absorbed, right? To become self-absorbed with your own ambitions and your own desires and your own thoughts and your own goals. Be very, very careful about that. Because if we do that, then we lose a sense of community. We lose that sense of, you know, passion with other believers in Jesus that are going to help us and that are going to grow us. You know, before I got saved when I was 16. I got married, I think I was 22 when I got married, 22 or 23 when I got married. But for that six, seven-year period, as a single person, you see, yeah, but you was a teenager. Well, from 18 on, for those few years that I was single, I was always together with other singles in our church. You know, Jeff Fane, Charlay, they were in our youth group. Andy Daugherty, who else was in there? Jeff Bamford, there was a lot of us. We were all the time doing stuff together. And that's what I love about the singles of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. You're all the time doing stuff together. That's important. That's great. And you know something else that you do as singles? You look out for each other. You look out for each other. That's a good thing. So the Apostle Paul was a single man. The Lord Jesus was a single man. What did Jesus do? Jesus, of course, he preached to the multitudes. But you know what he did? He poured his life passionately into 12 people. And one of them wasn't even a believer. But he poured his life into those 12 disciples. So in the context of singleness, don't ever also use your singleness as an excuse for not serving Jesus. Make healthy, if you want to write some thoughts down, make healthy singleness as your first ambition. How do you do it? Invest in community. Cultivating at least one or two companions for the journey. You have friends. Now, let me also speak into this. You say, well, preacher, I just don't have a lot of friends. Well, let me give you, I can't quote the verse. I wish I'd have written this down. But the Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly, right? So if you want to have friends, be a friendly person. You know, be a friendly person. Live your life for Christ and others ought to be your goal. Practice hospitality for some of you adults that are single. You know, hospitality, practice it regularly. And this, again, is from the writer of the book that I've been reading. Again, something else, singleness should be your loudest gospel message. It's your loudest gospel message. You say, preacher, how can I as a single, how can my life as a single individual be the loudest gospel message to the lost and dying world? I'll tell you how. Because you as a single adult, if you're going to live by God's word, won't be having improper relationships. We have kids in here, so I'm going to be careful the wording that I use. Won't be having improper relationships. If you're a single adult, keep yourself pure. Can I get a witness in the building? Keep yourself pure. It's important that you do that. You say, yeah, and I was talking. You have to understand how this kind of sets up. I was talking to a man earlier today, and he said, preacher, he said, you have to understand, he goes, man, he said, I heard your sermon today, and I listened to what you said. And he said, I'll be honest with you. Now, hear my heart. This is a man that's been in a relationship with this lady for many, many years. They're engaged. And for many, many years, this was his words. They've been living together for many, many years. This is what he said to me. This is his words, not the preacher's. This is his words. He said, preacher, he said, I know, and you even kind of talked a little bit this morning on marriage. He says, I know, and this was his words. I love how God just sets us up. His words were, he said, preacher, I know that the Bible says fornication is wrong. Amen? He said, but, he said, our culture, it's the norm in our culture. To which I responded, I said, yes, you're right. It indeed is the norm of our culture, but that doesn't make it right. I said, for example, if you study the Bible, in Bible times, it was not uncommon for a man to have more than one wife. I think to myself, how did you afford it, right? But anyway, sorry. It was not uncommon for him to have more than one wife. And I said to this man, I said, even though culturally it was accepted, Jamie Gentry, who is a missionary friend going to the Middle East, he even said to me, he said, Tracy, he said, in the Middle East, he said, it's still very common for a man to have at least two wives. So culturally, it was accepted. And I said this individual today. I said, even though it was accepted culturally, I said, God's word does not change. God's word still declares that the marriage bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge, the Bible says in Hebrews. Marriage is a beautiful thing. As far as in a sexual relationship, that is the only place that a marriage bed is the only place where a sexual relationship should happen. You see, I have a preacher, come on. This is 2016. Okay, let me ask you a question. Are we any better today? By living by an attitude of no restraints? No, we're not any better. We're worse off. So, invest in community. You see, there's the flexibility of marriage. There's singleness and the nobleness of it. But let me give you a few thoughts, and we'll just kind of go this direction. It needs to be our first ambition. Paul said he had learned to be content. Let me ask you a question, personal question. Are you content tonight as a single? Are you content or are you miserable? Let me encourage you tonight. If you're content, that's very valuable. You say, preacher, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm okay. I mean, I'm having fun with my friends and we get together all the time. We're all the time going out. We go out for coffee. We hit Panera Bread and we go here and we go there. We're all the time doing stuff with each other. You know, being content, maybe you say, yeah, but preacher, I'm not content. And I'll be honest, I'm miserable. Well, I'm going to speak into this. If you're miserable now as a single adult, I promise you, statistically it's proven, you will be miserable as a married adult. You'll be miserable. So find your peace, find your security in Christ. Allow the Lord Jesus Christ to bring that individual, if it's God's will, allow the Lord Jesus Christ to bring that person into your life and wait on him, of course, you know, but do not to the extent of waiting on God or wait, you know, just simply waiting. Don't stop living. Don't stop living your life. You say, yeah, but preacher, I'm just waiting. Listen, don't stop living your life. You be somebody that's passionately in love with Jesus, that has a passion for being around other brothers and sisters in Christ that love Jesus, single adults that love Christ, that have a passion to live for him. And by the way, I do believe friendship is very important. I do believe friendship is very valuable. Friendship is very important in the context of you as a single adult. Your friends often will determine your future. Your friends will often determine your future. So be careful who you hang around. You say, yeah, preacher, I hang around people that are always complaining, that are always negative, that are always, you know, complaining about this and complaining about this. Say, what should I do? Hear your heart of your preacher. Quit hanging around them. Quit hanging around them. You say, why, preacher? Because it's going to rub off on you. It's going to affect you in more ways than you realize, in a negative way. You say, yeah, but preacher, come on. I mean, life isn't always, you know, the glass isn't always half full in the Christian life. No, you're right, but I've often found it's proven that the attitude will determine your altitude in life, right? Your attitude will determine your altitude. If you have an attitude that gloom, despair, you know, if you have an attitude that I almost said my favorite hee-haw song. I'm not going to go there. I've aged myself and dated myself. But no, if you have an attitude that everything's bad and woe is me and I'll never find the right person. I'll never have a person that's going to love me. I'll never have a husband. I'll never have a wife. There's a good chance you never will. Would somebody want to marry somebody with that attitude? Lord have mercy, no. But if you have an attitude of saying, listen, wherever I'm at, I'm going to be content in Jesus. I'm going to be content in Christ. I'm going to be content. And you say, yeah, preacher, it's easy for you to say. You've been married 21 years. But no, hear my heart. I promise you this. You can ask my friends who I hung around those years that I was a single adult. I promise you, I was content being a single adult. I had a sports car. Woohoo. Don't have a sports car any longer. Yeah, you know what I mean? I had a two-door Chevy Beretta. That's cool, man. With a capital K, I was cool. But don't have that anymore. For many years, I had the minivan. You're talking about cool. You haven't experienced a state of coolness until you've driven a minivan. Right? Grocery getter, right? But now I got a truck. But anyway, we'll leave it alone. But anyway, that's another subject. But so let's now deal with How do we pray? What do we pray about? What do we pray for? You know, we talked about spending, you know, how do we, you know, you say, yeah, preacher, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm one of those people, I'm not content. So what do I do? Well, let me give you a few thoughts. Number one, spend time alone with God. If you have Jesus as your Savior, there is no substitute for your quiet time with Christ. You've got to spend time alone with God. You have to. It's imperative. Number two, invest in close friends and community. Invest in close friends and community. One of the dangers that can happen as you graduate high school, you get a little older. One of the dangers and one of the pulls of the world is to get you away from the community of Christ and get you away from the family of God and get you more involved in activities outside of a local church and that local fellowship in the world and get you doing things like drinking and get you doing things that are immoral. Listen, there will always be temptations. And now let me also speak into this. I'm well aware that there is a plethora of temptations for the single adult. You face a lot of temptations. So be careful. So that's why, you know, spending time alone with God is critical. Spending time alone with God and investing in close friends and community. Here's another third thing to give you. Learn to practice what's known as delight. One psychologist called it this. Throw yourself a party at least once a week. And that's not just for single adults. That should go for all of us. Important to keep that being emotionally healthy. That helps us. You know, get some hobbies about you. You know, don't just become a recluse and stay in your room and never do anything. No, get some hobbies. Do some fun things. Get out in the sunshine. You know, get out in the air. Man, the wind about blew my toupee off. I'll tell you a funny story about that. We had a guy working on the air conditioner. And I said to him, I had a window unit in my office, right? I had a window air conditioner unit in my office. And I said to him, I said, well, I'll be honest. I said, I'm not taking this window unit out. I said, because I love it cold. And I said, I'm not going to take this window unit out of my office until I know for certain that that air conditioner that you guys are putting in will basically about blow my toupee off. That's what I said, right? That's all I said. Well, probably an hour or two later, we're standing upstairs, and the salesman guy, he looked at me and he said, now mind you, I promise you, I did not know that he was wearing a toupee. Let me back this up. He wasn't wearing a toupee. He had had those transplants, right, where they take hair follicles. What do they call that? Hair transplants. Thanks, Brian. Brian's like, hair transplant. That's what we call it, Paul. You say, preacher, why are you looking at me? No, hair trend. He had had those, you know, that hair plugs, right? And he looked at me and he said, were you serious about your toupee? I said, what are you talking about, man? And you remember Amy? Amy was here. He goes, are you serious about the toupee? I said, no, man, I was joking. He goes, well, he said, I'll be honest. He said, I used to wear them. He said, but I've got those plug implants. And he goes, what I was going to tell you was, I was going to recommend a doctor for you if you needed it. See, my life is a carnival, man. My life is a carnival. Steve Wiggins, I think, was here that same day, and I was doing everything I could to just bite my lip off my face. But, oh, how does that go with the message? I have no idea. You don't need hair to get married. That's, I think, maybe what the Lord wants me to tell you. In the words of Pastor Jeff Fain, he says that God's most precious furniture, he marble tops. That's what Jeff Fain says. So that's what he says to me. He says a lot. Michael, amen that. But anyway, he says a lot of crazy things. So practice delight. Number four, prayer. Prayer has to be vital. Why is prayer important as a single adult? Not just as a single adult, but let's keep it in the context. As a single believer in Jesus, if you know Christ your Savior, prayer is important because prayer releases the power of the Holy Spirit, making possible what might otherwise appear to be impossible. That's a tremendous statement. Prayer has to be a vital aspect of our life. Because prayer releases the power of the Holy Spirit of God, making possible what might otherwise appear to be impossible. I would also add, before I get into this prayer, give you a few thoughts on this, I would also add, and one of the counsel things that I share with couples and pre-marriage counseling, as far as even in dating situations, my wife and I said the same thing, really make it intentional to become best friends. Make it an intentional part of your life to become best friends with that person you're dating, or your fiance, or that spouse. Become best friends. And here's what I've learned about friendship. It takes work to develop that friendship and nurture that friendship. So that's an important. It's not uncommon, and again, here's just kind of an observance. It's not uncommon for folks for singles, that they hang out as a community, and then they start hanging out as friends, and then a girl and a guy become friends, and they continue to become friends, and then all of a sudden, that friendship leads into dating, and that dating then therefore often leads into marriage. You say, preacher, what's the point? What's the point you're trying to make? The point I'm trying to make is, make certain that you build your relationship not only on the Word of God and on Christ, but also make sure that your relationship has a component of friendship underneath it. Because if you have a component of friendship underneath it, when those storms do come, and I promise you they will, we would be a fool to stand up here and tell you that you'll never have a problem in your marriage. I'd be a fool to tell you that. No. You will face it. You will face storms. You will face turmoils. You will face troubles. But the good news is, if you have a good friendship with you and your spouse, you can get a long way as good friends. And so make certain, keep prayer, keep that friendship important. So maybe four things as far as prayer. What should we pray for? Of course, we talked this morning about praying, and this is part of what I've already given to you. You know, pray for passion. You know, make that a part of your life, of your prayer life. Here's something to pray about as single adults. Pray that God will help you and give you the grace of ambition. Pray that God will help you and give you the grace of ambition. We talked about ambition as a strong desire to achieve something. Make your prayer life to pray, God, give me the grace of ambition. Number two, pray that God will give you a passion. This is good. Pray that God will give you grace, and in so doing, pray that God will give you a passion to be Christ and others centered. That's a good word. Pray that Christ will give you the passion to be Christ-centered and other-centered. One of the things that can happen, especially in single adults, is you can become where it's all about you, where it's all about me. Well, you know, how do you know if it's all about you? Well, when you get around your friends, is it always your wishes and your wants that they do? Be careful about that. Be careful. So again, just kind of keep that in mind. A passion to be Christ and other-centered. Number three, pray that God will give you the strength to prioritize self-care. Now, this is from the writer. Pray that God will give you the strength to prioritize self-care. Take care of yourself as a single adult. We all should take care of ourselves. Make sure you take care of yourself. You treat yourself good and love yourself. Not in a egotistical way. Not in a self-centered kind of way. No, make sure that you practice and prioritize self-care. Number four really would be number five, because I gave you a different one, another one. Pray that God will give you clarity of thought regarding how life singleness communicates the gospel. That's a long statement. I'll read it to you again. Pray that God gives you clarity of thought regarding how life singleness communicates the gospel. Ask yourself that question. Lord, how is my life as a single adult communicating the gospel? Because it needs to. If you know Jesus as your Savior, God indeed has called you to be a witness for His glory. Amen? Can I get a witness? God's called you to be a witness for His glory. And in so doing, our prayer life ought to be, Lord, how am I, how is my life communicating the gospel? I hope, my prayer to God is that every single adult in this church, regardless of your age, every single adult in this church understands the importance and the value of keeping a pure life as far as sexually, be sexually pure. You know, don't have sex outside the context of marriage. He said, come on, preacher, that's old-fashioned. It can be old-fashioned if you call it that, but it's the Bible, and I promise you on the authority of the Word of God and proven from a psychological perspective that if you'll wait and you'll wait for marriage, God will bless that and God will help that. God will help you in your marriage. If you have an attitude, say, well, it's really no big deal. Here's what's going to happen. Let me speak into this because I'm telling you, I've counseled a lot of couples in my ministry, and here's one of the things that can often happen. If we choose to just kind of give ourselves to anybody and everybody, and there's kids in here, but us adults, we know what I'm talking about. If we choose not to honor God in our singleness in the context of being pure, here's what can happen in your marriage. When you do get married, there can often be a sense of distrust in that marriage because you live such a sensual life and you live such a life of no restraint that maybe sometimes you then do what's called transference. You transfer that lifestyle that you lived onto your partner, onto your spouse, and you think they were the same way, and it can create a storm of emotion in a negative way. So be careful. Be careful. Now, let me also speak into this. Maybe you say, preacher, I'll be honest. I haven't honored God with my purity, but here's the good news. The good news is you can start right now honoring God with your purity. You can start right now. You can ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from those sins, those sexual sins, and you can ask God to give you the grace. Temptation's a real deal. Ask God to give you the grace to make certain that you stay pure for that prospective spouse. And the Lord will bless you for that. God will honor that. You know, God is in the business of redeeming. Amen. God is in the business of redeeming us. And so that's important, that's valuable. And again, thank you to the singles in this room watching my internet. Thank you, guys. We love you. We pray for you. Don't ever let anybody, you know, so many times, and as married couples, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Sometimes we'll say things we don't even realize are hurtful. You know, to our singles, we'll say things, man, aren't you married yet? Boy, that crushes them. That really stabs them in the heart. And, you know, so singles, anytime, so don't do this, but let me just tell you what my brain just thought, right? Anytime somebody says a negative thing to you about, shouldn't you be married? Maybe respond something like this. No, I'm not married yet, and I'm glad I'm not, because look how miserable you are. Don't say that. Please don't say that. But again, no, I'm just kidding. Let's stand, please, for hymn invitation. If the Lord's spoken to you, you need to respond. We give you an opportunity. Maybe God's dealt with you in the area of salvation. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ your Savior. Those watching by internet, listen, friend, if you'll repent of your sin and you'll call upon God to be your Savior, believing the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, ask God to save you. He'll save you. He'll change your life. There's a hell to shun, as my preacher used to preach. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And if you'll trust Jesus as your Savior, heaven will be indeed a reality of your life one day. Maybe that's your desire. Maybe you're here today, say, preacher, I'll be honest, as a single adult, I've never really thought of it in the context of how, as a single, man, I can give God glory and I can live a godly life and I can live a life maybe serving Jesus unlike anyone else that's married. I have an opportunity to serve Christ. You know, that indeed my life as a single should give evidence to not the depth of God's love as a married couple, but to the length and the breadth of God's love and how the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the grace to have relationships with the opposite sex that are wholesome, that are Christ-honoring, that exemplify the Lord Jesus and what it means to be good friends and godly friends. And you have a friendship that there's not based on, you know, giving and getting. You have a friendship that's all about, hey, you know, we're here to love each other. We're here to encourage each other. So maybe as a single adult, maybe the Lord's touched your heart. You just like to come and pray and ask God to help you. Put a hedge about you, man. I tell you, the devil wants to destroy your life. He wants to ruin your life. And if he can do that, man, he will take your effectiveness for Jesus. So be careful. Be careful who you let speak into your life. And again, I pray for you. I will continue to pray for you as your preacher. And the adults, they pour into you. And they love you. And we love you. And we're grateful to God. We could not be the church that we are without our singles. I mean that. We could not be the church that we are without our single ministry. And we're grateful to God for you. So what's the number, Brother Brian?
8.
5.